Good morning. Today is Friday, December the 11th. Joining us this morning is Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We're a little fuzzy this morning because somebody either overslept or decided it would be wise not to go into the station this morning. And I won't say who that is because we both operate from stations. So we'll just kind of leave it there, okay? All righty, Winston, why do we say it?
What is the reason we say a person who takes offense takes umbrage?
Umbrage.
Umbrage. I think umbrage is a place. Okay, so I'm going to go with it's related to that.
Okay, I'm going to say that it is a Latin term for offense. O-F-F-E-N-S-E.
It comes from the Latin umbra, meaning shadow. A shadow is a dark person, a gloomy view, as it were, and a person who takes umbrage believes the worst.
Ah, well, I got Latin part right.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah. Hey. I'm not sure what town you're living in, though, Sean. Umbrage. Umbrage, USA, yes. Oh. How are the troops hanging in there?
They're doing okay. It's been a pretty wild few weeks. We had our positive COVID cases. That was the real, I don't know if I said wake up call, but a real impact. It has put in some high level precautions and drove a lot of other changes. And that was right before. Everywhere else.
So how do you adjust around that with, I mean, it's not like you got hundreds of folks and you got two people out, you know, it's got to represent a good percentage. Do you just do the rotating station closures?
We did for a day. We weren't able to cover all five stations just one day, so that was good. We cover the rest of overtime. But in that situation, it's not just the two who are positive, it's all those who are exposed. So in that case, we had another four who were exposed. They have to be quarantined for a bit as well.
In a situation like that, was it in the office or was it one of the... One of the fighters.
It was one of the firefighters. Yeah.
So if you have to notice, you know, what is the protocol that happens at that point? Do you have to let everybody know that they came into contact with that day on the job, that there might be a potential, et cetera, and just kind of start going through the umbrella on that one?
Yeah. So one of the outcomes of that situation. Now doing our own contact tracing, and that was before the county asked for help with that. And we're also doing our own internal testing, which just means we go pick up tests from the county lab, we administer the test, we take the test back, we get results within 48 hours. And yeah, then we just grab telling chief. Initially, we contact everyone who may have been exposed. Determine if there was an actual exposure based on the 15 minutes and 6 feet.
So 48 hours backwards, that's kind of the magic time frame?
Yeah, that's the infectious period from the positive test or the driver.
So now what happens after they're notified? Do they have to go through a series of tests or go to DHHS? I mean, how do you know who has to be segregated for a period of time and who doesn't?
It's all based on the exposure level. So as you can imagine, our firefighters live together in the station and then they drive around in the engine. And that was one of the big changes as we went to masks are required all the time and any time on 6 feet, at least 6 feet away.
Then you have to to sterilize the station, though, also, don't you?
We did do that. We had it both affected stations professionally cleaned, and the firefighters are already cleaning at least twice a day. They're doing screening, so a lot of protective measures in place. But to go back to your question, just through the questioning with the exposures, those who have a high level of exposure, they get tested, and then they're put on a quarantine until the results come back. All of them were negative, which is great. And they were off for 10 days, so they were not at work. And then they went to what's called a modified quarantine, where they could be at work, but they could be taking more precautions, masking, etc., trying to isolate themselves from the sensitive group.
When they come back, do they just get put into the regular position that they had before, or is there a break-in, if you will?
No, it's a relatively short period, so they just fill their normal position.
Yeah, so it makes it a little bit tougher for the entire organization for a little bit of time.
Yeah, I mean, like we've been saying, the potential is to have a massive impact. For example, Chico had 14 members who were quarantined. Now that's almost our entire single day staffing. We have 16 or 17. So we'd have a real hard time filling that. So making sure that everything as protected as possible is the best to do.
When they sterilize the building, it's through everything, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, all the working surfaces, the apparatus.
The whole nine yards. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Sean from Humble Bay Fire. Sean, with the challenges that are going on now, you've got, and I suppose it's not a challenge, I suppose it's probably dealing with a more known, you've got Miles now ensconced in the second floor corner office as the city manager. Is that going to make things easy for you as you're dealing with some of the other challenges? Because you know his personality, he knows yours, and maybe you don't have quite the distractions from having a new city manager that you might otherwise.
Absolutely, we have a good, really good working relationship. We have a really good team with the other department heads. He's been in the place dealing with the pandemic and then the budget for several months. So, that's a huge stress relief and ability to feel like you can kind of plan for the future.
Yeah, so when you're dealing with different personalities in a time like this, does this give you more opportunity to work on things like budgets and to do research and things of that sort that might, in the long run, prove to be positive for the department?
I would say, in terms of having more time, if that's what you're asking me, not really. I attend as many Zoom meetings as regular meetings, and then just dealing with the everyday issues that arise. This is the pandemic, like all of the testing stuff I talked about earlier.
So the day-to-day is pretty much the day-to-day.
Yeah, it's just maybe has a little different sense to it, a different element to it. But yeah, budget is always a concern, and the pandemic just affected it in different ways. We were lost sales tax revenue, and then having to wait on the election and then not knowing what the actual tax revenue numbers would be.
I have a question that's a little bit different than what we normally have. Christmas trees seem to have sold out really quickly this year. Is there any concern if there's more, let's see, non-natural petroleum-based celebrations? Are you more concerned that you might have some fires associated with that rather than having the natural trees because of the lights and the candles and all that kind of stuff? Is that a different kind of a concern profile for you?
Yeah, I think so. People are more at home and wanting to at least have some celebrations right with, and they want to have a event. And yeah, it's always a concern that they're not mindful and they're focused on that celebration and thinking about all the fire effects.
I wonder, in poking around some of the stuff at Dad's place, finding the old Christmas light bulbs, think of the 70s, that were, a couple inches long, and, they would be, after being on the tree for a while, they would be warm to the touch, so if one burned out, you'd have to wait a couple of minutes before you could unscrew it. Are those still safe to use?
I guess the risk management part of me would say absolutely not. Those are very dangerous. But I think it's just common sense in some ways. I think if you have a tree, and a natural tree, you should make sure it's not too dry. There's no combustibles around it. If you have lights in the tree, has it lit all the time, doing an occasional check.
What about using
fire?
Fire was obviously is the concern. My thought was, what about on exterior, or is decor around rather than on the tree itself? Are those still safe, or are those things that you would rather see people not take advantage of and perhaps relegate them to the trash heap of nostalgia?
They're probably not the best. If they're old too, they're going to be more prone to bolt. And just being old, they're going to have worn out. Yeah, there's great new things, so I'd always encourage people to do those. But nostalgia is also an important part of the holidays. I would say if you have something that you're attached to or is an important part of your tradition, then be mindful of it, using it in a safe way.
Are there any additives that you suggest to put into the Christmas tree along with water just to kind of keep it more supple longer?
No, the only thing I'm aware of is the acrylic bit powder that goes with the, get a bunch of flowers that just kind of invigorates the movement of water in the vessels, I guess. Beyond that, I'm not aware of anything. It's more the coating that all of the vendors are supposed to apply to the tree that
Retardant stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the retardant stuff.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:30.
community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humble Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Sean, what's some of the different, I guess, seasonal issues that you guys are dealing with? In the past, we would be talking about don't drink and drive, parties, gatherings, things of that nature. But now with the recommended approach that's in play now, are you seeing any kind of change in calls for medical service? Are you guys visiting folks that you wouldn't be visiting otherwise because of some of the conditions we're all operating in, or is the medical side of the equation pretty much steady as she goes?
It seems to be steady. Like it's always been. Initially we had the shutdown first happened. There we had less calls and people were less wanting to impact the 911 system. But since then, it's back to business.
The types of medical aid responses, do they still? You're not seeing any trends or any changes within the numbers, are you?
No.
I was thinking about with kids being at home and being a little bit more accident prone, that kind of stuff, or rough housing. You know, the things might you might be seeing a couple more broken arms and things of that nature, but it doesn't sound like that's the case, huh?
No, I can't say I've dug deep into the response data, but anecdotally, no, I think it's pretty normal with
I've seen a couple of things recently that indicate tapered candles are now coming back in vogue. When you see something like that, do you kind of hold your breath for a moment and reread it and hope that maybe you misread that article?
Yeah, I mean, candles are probably one of the biggest hazards with structure fires. Because people light them, they tend to be unattended, and often they spread to other things or fall over. Even more so during the holiday season with Christmas trees and different kinds of ornaments. Yeah.
So when a candle is the triggering agent, is it when it tips over and catches like a tablecloth on fire or decorations around it? How does that normally progress?
Yeah, it's generally whatever's combustible that you can buy. Oftentimes people don't have a place to put them, so we see them on windowsills, which is a drapery, or like I said, in a tree, or near clothing.
On clothing, though,
yeah,
huh?
Couches.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, because I wouldn't have thought that there would be... That there would be much of a clothing exposure on that rather than, you know, tipping it over maybe a pile of paperwork or something like that that might serve as the, I guess, the equivalent of an accelerant, huh?
Yeah, it's just different households.
Right. Multiple wicks. You know, there are pillar candles that have got the single, and somewhere my thought is if you have a candle that's got the three wicker, say, or a five-wick candle. Right. Those things tend to be so solid that you really don't have, a lot of folks don't have the safety concerns with those as they do with a drip taper, as an example. Is that a pretty good rule of thumb?
Yes. Like you said, the three-wick solid ones are much less likely to pull over. They're often in a better protected container, and they're usually more fragrant. At some point, if the fragrance gets a bit much, but you're more likely to put it out. Yeah, definitely all of those factors make you a better choice.
Have you guys run into, we were talking during one of the breaks about the potpourri burners. Are those, do you run into those much anymore?
No, I can't say we've run into those at all.
Okay, so when you hear a report of one later today, you know who was the triggering.
Yeah. 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 Somebody pulled them out of the story.
Yeah, your good old buddy out the radio station.
Right.
Yeah, glad to know that there's some influence available for me, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Deep fryer burns also are something that, you know, as folks are doing different styles of Christmas meals now. Are you getting any reports of those having, not people doing, but the manufacturers having issues with some of those deep fryers, or are they pretty dialed in now?
They seem more dialed in. Often when people misuse them, they don't follow instructions. They have them inside, or you know, they're trying to cook down some other product. That's not against.
Yeah, it's, I get. Maybe the air fryer will be the new replacement. We won't have to worry about the oil.
Yeah, they seem a lot more safe.
Yeah, well, if they tip over, I don't think you've got an issue or a concern other than the turkey just kind of hit the floor and the dog has it. Yeah,
we didn't really have any issues over the Thanksgiving period.
Oh, that's good news. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humble Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson. Sean, the end of the year, there's a lot of fundraising that goes on. How you doing with the Fireman's Memorial?
We're doing really well with that. My understanding is we've reached our funding goal, and the costings are being done right now. It was presented at council a few weeks ago and was approved and forward. So, yeah, it's looking really good.
Very cool. Very cool. Are more and more people getting familiar with the concept and some of the history associated with it?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the most exciting part is people learning about why we want to do this and why we want to put it in the location we want to put it in. Just another important part of the history of Eureka.
So as you look at this calendar year that has pretty much, well, it's come and it's still here, but it's getting closer and closer to being gone. What are some of the things that's sticking out in your mind about this year?
Yeah, it's I feel like every year I've been the chief has been unprecedented in terms of things to deal with. But certainly this year, the things that stick out have certainly been the pandemic. But on top of that, just thinking about all the ways we've overcome challenges and the way we've continued to make improvements, So, yeah, those are the highlights for me. And then, you know, this memorial is an example of that. It just started as a concept over a year ago, and it's just really come to a great place. So it's just a lot of things to give thanks for, but we have a really resilient organization and great relationships with our parent agencies. So, and that's not just the fire chief and me talking about the politics. It's, you know, it has a real effect when things are really not good, and that's what this year has been.
So, with the memorial having achieved its goal, if folks still want to participate or donate, is there a wish list that you'd like to add to that? If there was more money, or have you achieved that and you would suggest maybe they, you know, give to the Toys for Tots or some of the other seasonal campaigns?
I can't speak to exactly what else the memorial funding, but certainly the Toys for Tots and the Cash for Seniors are great seasonal projects that I definitely encourage people to contribute towards.
Yeah, when I popped in yesterday, the lobby is looking kind of tight.
Yeah, our back classroom is full of toys and gifts, so yeah. It's really great to see.
Yeah, so it's continuing to happen. So, and hopefully you guys won't have any issues with the Truckers Parade tomorrow night, so that you won't be able to break away or be diverted, and everybody can just kind of breathe a little bit easier on that one, huh?
Yeah, we're going to have a couple of extra pieces of apparatus in there with off-duty families, so that will be a good thing, too.
Good deal. Well, if you see a tall guy, don't swerve towards him.
we'll avoid those tall guys. They do a lot of damage if you happen to hit them.
Yeah, tall guys? Yeah, okay. All righty, Sean. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, thank you.
See everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.